Our Father and our God, we now commit this time of preaching into thy holy hands. May thou bless both the declaration as well as the reception. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I do pray and give thanks. Amen. It is one of the great gifts that God has given to humanity, the gift of sight. Through the human eye, we behold the great beauty of nature. Through the human eye, we behold human beauty, the beauty of our faces. And you know what? Through the human eye, we develop the perception of reality. And it is through this perception of reality that we're able to function in our world, making decisions and choices on what to do and how to live. But this perception of reality that comes through our sight can be a hindrance to our spiritual health. And the reason for this is because our perception of reality can actually rob us of the essential, or one of the essentials of our spiritual growth, and that is faith. You know, we can choose to only believe what we see and discount what we don't see. In other words, we can choose to walk solely by sight rather than by faith. And whenever we make such a choice, it is always difficult to please God. The writer of Hebrews, writing in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, will say to us, he said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this morning, if your desire is to grow in grace and please God, you need to do what I call a faith test to see really whether you are a man or woman of great faith. And this is what is going to bring me to this topic of faith. I want to really explore this topic this morning so that we can understand all the nuances of faith, and how we as God's people can truly walk by faith and not by sight. Now, as a preamble, what I want to first do here is to set it in context. Let me first look at a definition. You know, in the Greek New Testament, the word translated faith is the word pistis. And it simply means a conviction of the truth of something. Now, the writer of Hebrews actually now elaborates more even deeply on this definition of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews will tell us, it said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to that definition. There are two parts to that definition. Let's look at it first of all. The first one is assurance, or what the King James will say, the substance of things hoped for. Now, the idea here is that faith has to do with having an unwavering confidence that we hope that something will happen. Again, I want you to pay attention to that. You know, the Lord Jesus attested to this when he said to us, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, be taken and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he's saying is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. That's Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 23. This is the assurance of things hoped for. The other part of this definition is the conviction of things not seen. Again, the idea here is that faith has to do with being certain of what is not yet a reality. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying here. You know, the Apostle Paul actually attested to this when he said to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he said, for we know, watch that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Watch what it said. It said, for we know it is the conviction of things not seen. Essentially, what we have here is that you have an unwavering confidence that, yes, this is going to happen. Then you have this conviction. And this conviction is what gives you the grace and the strength to press towards that vision that you have put forth in terms of what you believe that God would do. That is what essentially the definition of faith is. Now, you know, these two pieces, assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, will be an exercise in futility if there is no real substance behind it. In essence, when we talk about faith, we are not talking about some blind chance or some fairy tale fantasy. Rather, the reason we have an unwavering confidence that what we hope for will happen and have this certainty of what we have not yet seen that is going to come to reality is that our faith is anchored and sourced in God. Again, I want you to watch it. God is the object of our faith. God, who has no human limitation. God, who is able to do the impossible. And it is God who now guarantees the essence of this faith that God is saying to us in his holy word, you have faith in me. And the Lord Jesus will say, have faith in God and have faith also in me. That is the object of faith, that we believe that God is. And God is the one who can do and undo. God is the one who can move in impossible situation, that nothing is too hard for God. Now, let's now flip this trip here for a minute. Let us now go and ask that unique question. You know, why is faith, then, so important to God? Right, remember what the writer of Hebrews said? That it is impossible to please God without faith. It is why is faith so important to God? Well, I believe there are two fundamental reasons here, according to the Bible. Let me break it down for you. The first one is this. You know, faith is significant because when we have faith, we actually testify to our belief in the personhood of God. Again, loved ones, I want you to pay attention to me this morning. You know, faith testifies to our belief in the personhood of God. You know, one thing that is true of every one of us is this. All of us have never seen God at any time. First John, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. No man have seen God at any time. So all of us as humans stand on even ground when it comes to being able to say we see God in terms of person. What this translates to essentially is that any attempt to know God must have to come through faith. Again, watch what I just said. Every attempt to know God must come through faith, because the Lord Jesus said God is spirit. And those that must worship him in spirit and in truth. Essentially, for you to say, listen, I know God, every attempt must come through faith. It must have to come through believing without seeing that there is a divine being. You must have to believe. You must have to trust that while I don't see him, his invincible attributes, his eternal Godhead has been made manifest in the things that are created, general revelation. His word has been made manifest in his sacred writings, the Bible. That is what it means that we believe in the personhood of God. That is why faith is important to God. Again, loved ones, that is why the writer of Hebrews is saying to us, without faith, it is impossible to please him, because he who must come must believe that he is. In other words, God is a being. He exists. Not a fairy tale or superstitious belief. It's a real belief that God is real. That is the essence of faith. So when you walk by faith, you are first attesting to the fact that there is a God in heaven. There is a God who holds all things together by the word of his power. There is a God who created the things seen and things unseen. There is a God who's given me life, who's given me grace. In him I live, I move, I have my being. Loved ones, first of all, that's why grace, or that's why faith, is important to God, because it testifies to our belief in his personhood. Second is this. You know, faith actually communicates our trust and reliance on the sufficiency of God. Faith communicates our trust and reliance on the sufficiency of God. Now, in the unique story, I want you to watch the story. It can be found in Luke chapter 18. We're told here that the Lord Jesus was approaching Jericho, and there was a blind man named Bartimaeus who was sitting by the side of the road, and he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by. And from that point, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, and people told him, "Shh, keep quiet, Jesus, don't have no time for you." But he kept shouting. And in the midst of the noise of the crowd, Jesus stopped. And Jesus requested that they bring him to him. And when they brought this blind Bartimaeus to Jesus, now, I want you to watch this now. He was blind. So someone must have to lead him by the hand. Someone must have to hold him and bring him to Jesus. And since Jesus is fully God in the flesh, since Jesus is omniscient, he knows precisely what this blind man wants. But when this blind man was brought to Jesus, Jesus asked him a very interesting question. He said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Pause for a minute. The question is this. Why is Jesus asking this question? Obviously, Jesus knew what he needed. He knew he was blind. He knew the greatest gift he could give to this man was the gift of his sight back. But yet, Jesus posed this question. And what is very interesting here is this. The man, the purpose that Jesus posed this question, we will find out in the response of this man. Because blind Bartimaeus now said to Jesus, he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." Then the Lord Jesus said to him, watch it, "Receive your sight, your faith." You want to underline that word. "Your faith has made you well." Do you get that picture, loved ones? It was the faith of blind Bartimaeus. In other words, by blind Bartimaeus saying to God, saying to the Lord Jesus, "Lord Jesus, I want to," he was actually saying, "Lord, I trust, I rely on your power, on your sufficiency, that you are more than able to do. You are more than able to open my eye." He expressed his trust. He expressed his reliance on the sufficiency of God. And Jesus was able to tell him from that point, "Listen, because you express your trust and sufficiency in me by your faith, by your faith has made you well." And loved ones, this is why faith, it is important to God. You know, when you come to God, you don't tell God something that he does not know. Before you ask, it knows what you want. But it wants you to come to him in humility. He wants you to come to him in humility and say, Father, I can't do this by myself. Father, I need your help. Father, I need you to lead me. Father, I need you to open my eye to see. Father, I need you to direct my path. And when we do that, we are actually expressing our trust and reliance in his sufficiency. And God moves. So, loved ones, you see why faith is important. You see why faith is the language of God. You see why for you to be able to do great things for God, you must be anchored in faith. And loved ones, these are the two reasons why faith is important to God. But, you know, this brings me to an all-important question this morning. And this question is kind of interesting. You know, what if we exercise our faith in God and the outcome is not what we expected? Again, watch what I just said. What if you, by faith, you believe you have this unwavering confidence in God, and you go to him and you believe that, yes, God, my faith is a mountain-moving faith. And then you don't receive it. You know, this question is significant because there are some in Christendom who postulate that the reason a Christian gets an unexpected outcome is because their faith is weak. In other words, they said, listen, your family member is sick in the hospital, and you go there by faith, and you pray that God heals and they die. The reason that person dies is because you lack faith. And that's a very slippery slope, loved ones. That is a very dangerous theological position. Why? Because of what I'm going to explain to you this morning. Because of some things I need you to understand, that even in the exercise of our faith, the prerogative to answer is solely God. And this morning, I want to share two things with you. You know, there are times when we, by faith, ask and God says no. Two reasons is this. You know what? There is the fact of what I call the perfect will of God. Let me give you two scenarios, two biblical examples here. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as our Lord Jesus Christ was looking forward to the cross, you know, all the gospel writers recorded the agony of his soul. That the Lord Jesus said, my soul is extremely grieved to the point of death. He called three disciples to walk a little bit with him. He said, watch with me. And the Lord Jesus, we're told, went his stone throw from this man, and he began to pray. And the Gospel of Luke reveals that his prayer was like drop of blood coming off his head, his sweat. The great intensity of the prayer of the Lord Jesus on that dark night of the soul, that the Lord Jesus agonized in prayer. The Lord Jesus kept praying, and he said to the Father, he said, the cup, let it pass over me. The Lord Jesus was praying to his Father. He said, let this cup pass over me. What is the cup? The cup was the sin of God's wrath, or the sin of humanity. Jesus was going to take upon himself, the Holy One of God, the one who had no sin, will take upon himself the sin of humanity. And Jesus, in the agony of his soul, said, Lord, let this cup pass over me. But God will say no to his Son. And Jesus will concur. He said, not my will, but your will. God said no because of the redemption plan of God. God had to say no to his Son. This cup will not pass over you. This cup, you must have to drink it. This cup, you must have to bear it, because the destiny of generations, the destiny of humanity hangs on this cup. Jesus has to take this cup. And God Jesus must pray by faith. But God said, no. No. The cross, you must have to go to the cross. You have to pay and be the substitutionary atonement for the sin of humanity. Love, once you see that the Lord Jesus, the Theoanthropos himself, prayed to his Father. And if we want to know whoever prays, Jesus prayed by perfect faith. And God said no. Then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul will narrate to us an experience that he had 14 years earlier. And he said to us that he was translated to the third heaven. And he saw, I saw inexpressible things. And said, in order to keep me from exalting myself, God gave him a thorn in his flesh, who he described as a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Now watch that. Paul is saying, listen, God gave me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet. He said, and three times he prayed for God to remove this. And I believe Paul prayed by faith. Paul prayed. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh is, but whatever it was, he bothered the Apostle Paul to the extent that he went and he prayed. He prayed three times like the Lord Jesus did in Gethsemane. He prayed, God, take this thorn from my flesh. But God said no, because of God's perfect will. God said no, because God had a perfect will for the Apostle Paul. What was the perfect will of God? His grace was sufficient for Paul. God said to Paul, listen, my grace is sufficient for power is perfected in your weakness. Loved ones, there will be times that you and I will pray by faith. There will be times that we'll go to God with a mountain moving faith, and God will say no, because he has a perfect will for your life. The God will say no, because there is a will that he has for you, and you must have to walk through that perfect will of God. So, loved ones, when you ask by faith and you don't receive, does not mean you don't have faith. Could very well mean because God has a perfect plan and a perfect will for your life. The second thing is this. I want you to watch this. You know, the second reason why I believe the exercise of our faith at times might not bring the desired result is because God always gives us what is right, not what we want. Again, watch what I just said here. God always gives us what is right, not what we want. Max Lucado, in his book, He Still Moves Stones, puts it very well. He said, faith is not the belief that God will do what we want, but it's the belief that God will do what is right. Loved ones, listen to me this morning. God is going to do what is right. And many of us, in our prayer of faith, we ask God for what we want. And God wants to do what is right. You know, you ask God, Lord, in my marriage, Lord, I want you to change my husband. Watch what I'm saying this morning. But God would do what is right because he wants to first change you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Lord, you might say, Lord, I want this new promotion. Lord, give me this new promotion. This is what I want. But God would do what is right because God knows you're not ready for that. And God will keep you back till you're ready for that new progression. And loved ones, this is the reason at times that we might ask by faith, even in sickness. A loved one is sick. and you pray by faith, Lord, I believe in your power to heal. You want that person to leave. But God said, I'm going to even do better. I'm going to take that person to a perfect place because they're going to do what is right. And loved ones, may I remind you this morning that yes, God moves through faith. Yes, God wants us to express our faith to him and to walk by faith, not by sight. But the prerogative to answer our request when we pray by faith is solely God's prerogative. And loved ones, this morning, you know, regardless of the outcome of our exercise of faith, one thing is undeniable. You know, faith is the language of God. Faith is the pillar of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul will rightly remind us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For a Christian, whatever is your challenge you're facing this morning, whatever you're facing this morning, walk by faith. It is your faith that emboldens you to stand when others fall. It is your faith that makes you victorious in a world of victims. It is your faith that makes you triumph over the schemes of the enemy. For listen, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But whatever, and listen, whatever life may bring to you, walk by faith, not by sight. When you compromise faith, you undermine your faith. You empower your fear. You empower your fear. And when you walk by fear, you can't truly express that great power that God wants you to express. And this morning, loved ones, whatever the goal is for your life, walk by faith and not by sight, because God is looking for men and women that will walk before him by faith and not by sight. May God give us all the grace to be men of great faith, women of great faith. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do thank thee for the opportunity that thou hast given us this morning to gather in this place. And Lord God, to hear the word of our good God. Father, may thou now bless the declaration of thy word. I commit to thee, Lord, this morning, the word of our great God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.